name is David Reske, CEO of NowSpeed Marketing, and welcome to this edition of In the Now, where we focus on uncovering the myths and misunderstandings of marketing and leadership with some of the world's most interesting people. And my guest today is Sharahan Ross. Sharahan is a fractional CMO and an expert on working with startups and building brand strategy. Sharahan, welcome to the show.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yes. Through our earlier conversations, I discovered we have something in common, that we both went to Ohio State, and you live in Columbus, Ohio, where I lived for 6 years. That's awesome.
Yes, I'm a Buckeye. I'm a true Buckeye. And alumni times two, my undergrad and my MBA were both from Ohio State University. So, you know, big fan.
Yeah. And did, so I think I shared with you that I lived on campus. I lived in Drackett Hall and went to the business school there. And it was just an amazing experience. So,
you know, I remember too, when I started with, when I was an undergrad, Fisher College was still being built. And I actually worked somewhere called Ohio Calling, where I made phone calls to alumni to raise funds for building the Fisher campus. And so, you know, all these years later, I'm back and I'm actually on campus at Fisher getting my MBA. And I'm like, I remember raising funds to get this place built. Exciting times.
Wow, that's cool. Maybe we talked back then and you were calling me to give money to Ohio State.
Very possible. Very possible.
Never know. Well, I really appreciate you joining this conversation. As you know, I like to start these conversations with a MythBuster question, because there's so much poor knowledge about marketing and strategy out there. And you're an expert, and I just want to talk to you about this question. So the MythBuster question that you and I have talked about is related to startups. You know, can a startup CEO also be the CMO of his or her organization? Can you be the CEO and the CMO at the same time?
Short answer, absolutely not. I get it. When you start a company, it's your baby. You're going to wear all the different hats. Budgets are tight. You know, you're bootstrapping. It's usually just you, potentially a couple of other partners that are helping you. Most tech startups will have, you know, the brains, and then somebody that is more IT architect, builder type of person. And so together they build a company and they wear all the different hats. And I get that. And that makes sense in the beginning, but at some point you need to be the CEO and bring in the CMO, bring in the marketing expertise. You really cannot be both functions, because they're opposing disciplines. So you got to think about it this way. A CEO is building, a CEO is putting structure, putting process, managing an organization. And then the CMO is here to kind of do the complete opposite, right? A CMO or a marketer, it doesn't have to be the CMO, but the marketer's discipline is really to experiment, to test, to figure out what's working and what's not working. The appetite of a CMO is very different, because, you know, they're not risk averse. They want to go all in. They want to figure out different ways to do the same thing, to send the same message. And so those two functions can be opposing. And so if you're acting CEO and CMO, in your head, I feel like there's an internal war going on at all times, because you really can't be both. At some point, you gotta let go and be the CEO and bring in the expertise to help take you from either zero to one or one to the next, you know, 100, whatever it is. And I get it, budget constraints, depending on where you are in your growth mode. Even if you can't bring in a CMO full-time, think of maybe a fractional CMO, somebody who can help guide you, do the testing on your behalf, figure out your customer, your ICP, help you go to market, maybe even help you build your marketing function and hire your permanent CMO. So that's just my take. I know it's a hot topic. I have worked with plenty of startups where the CEO was the CMO and realized they just can't be both. And I've also seen plenty where they are both. And I don't know how they're doing it. I just, you know, some are successful, some absolutely are not. And I really think it's going to be based on industry. Like, for example, if you think of a marketing agency, somebody who's a marketer, has been a marketer their entire career and started an agency, well, they're a CEO and they're kind of technically the CMO, but are they really involved in the day-to-day marketing activities, or are they bringing in somebody else to handle that for them?
So let's just unpack that a little bit. So in that situation, you know, where this, let's say the CEO is acting as the CMO, what do you feel like suffers the most? Because in true, as a true CMO, you've got to be responsible for strategy, maybe pricing strategy, maybe product marketing strategy, maybe content strategy, execution of marketing, demand generation. There's all these elements that you know have to work together when you're the CMO. In your experience, when you see that CEO trying to do it all, what suffers the most?
Innovation.
Hmm.
Absolutely innovation. I've seen it. I've talked to them. They, because they're the CEO, they have specific set of goals and objectives that they have to be mindful of. And a CMO's job is not to think about those things. The CMO's job is to use the budget, right? And experiment, go to market, figure out what's working and what's not. A CEO is a lot more risk averse. Most CEOs are risk averse because it's their company they're building. They're very much worried about how are they spending. They also don't understand, that's the other thing too. And when I say innovation, they don't understand that with marketing, you don't, it's not quick results. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not magic. A lot of marketing is simply science. You have a hypothesis, you take it to market to experiment and test. You're on various variations of it. You double down on what's working. You pivot if it's not working. CEOs don't understand that. They think, okay, I'm the marketer. I'm the CEO. I want to go to market. I know my ICP. I should generate X number of MQLs. Take them through the funnel. This is the timeline. They're very not. They are strategic, but they're not thinking creatively too. And they're not thinking like a scientist. They're not thinking like, for them, it's a formula, A plus B equals C. And that's not how marketing works, right? And so I think that's what suffers is that innovation because they don't know how to pivot quickly. They don't realize that sometimes you gotta allow it some time to see whether or not it's gonna work. They don't have the intuition to figure out, am I on the right channel? Is it the right message? Is it the right customer? Is it the right time? Because all these rights have to come together. You might have nailed down your ICP, but maybe you don't know what channel to reach them on. Or maybe you do know the channel and the ICP, but your messaging is not resonating. You're not testing enough different types of content to figure out how do I reach my ICP and get them to pay attention. You don't realize that marketing's function is to build awareness. Marketing drives awareness, which drives demand, which then eventually leads into revenue and sales. There's a handoff between marketing and sales. There's another misconception about marketing and sales are the same thing, and they're not. And so when you're the CEO and the CMO, you're not realizing that your job, as a CEO is to drive revenue, but the job of a CMO is to drive that demand, to really get that awareness, to get people talking about your brand, to build a community and an affinity around your brand, to take your customer through the entire journey. And all of that takes time. It builds upon one another. And I don't know that the CEO can handle, let me rephrase. They shouldn't be the ones that are driving revenue, but also driving demand, because at some point those may they may conflict, but most importantly, innovation will suffer.
Yeah. And I think I've seen that along with you many times. So, you know, it feels like one of the things you're saying is that there's a lot of complexity in marketing. You know, this idea of creating the hypothesis, testing, looking through channels. You try to find those veins of demand, find out what works and what doesn't work, especially in a startup where you don't have proven, repeatable processes and cycles that are always working, right? So it sounds like what you're saying is that the CEO can't spend the time and take the initiative to do all of those things well. Because I think one of the things I've seen is the CEOs don't always appreciate the complexity that goes into doing all of that work and might just assume, oh, we just put an email out there, we're going to get customers, it's all good, right? Yeah. So,
Oh,
how?
my favorite is when they say, oh, we don't need marketing. Our product will sell itself.
Exactly.
And I'm like, product-led growth is marketing. Sales-led growth is marketing. Community-led growth is marketing. No, it's not selling itself. There's marketing. Brand awareness is marketing. It's all marketing, right? And marketing is complex. It is really hard, but it is simple in terms of what you need to do. And I think that's where people get confused. They think marketing is easy, and it's not. It's not easy, and it's not for the weak or faint of hearts. It takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of testing, it takes a lot of repetition. At its core, you're doing the same thing, or sorry, you're saying the same thing over and over, but maybe trying various ways and of saying it and various channels of saying it. But to get the message across, you're just rinse and repeat, right? And so it's simple, it's just not easy.
Yeah, so let's talk about that concept a little bit because it feels like every step in the marketing process is simple, right? I mean, as an agency, we build websites and we do email marketing, we'll write content, and we do demand generation and advertising. And you can do every one of those with about 5 minutes of education, right? So give me a website builder, and in 5 minutes, I'll put up a website, right? Give me a Google account, give me my free account. I'll put up some keywords. Google will walk me through the wizard with AI. I'll write an ad and it's done. So, oh, you want to send email marketing? I write email all the time. I can send out an email. So every one of these steps is simple. So how do you communicate with to a CEO that you want to put together an integrated strategy that leverages all this with messages that actually work, with a content strategy that meets all the needs across the funnel? How do you communicate this complexity in an environment where it seems just very simple?
You have to explain to them, break it down in layman's terms, or make it so that they, most of these CEOs are online somewhere, right? They're consuming content just like the rest of us. They're being bombarded by content just like the rest of us. So you gotta put it simply as, look, you're not, your brand, your company, your whatever is not competing with others in the space. You're competing with everybody that's online, everybody, right? So when I post as a person, as Sherry Han Ross, I'm not competing with other fractional CMOs. I'm competing with every human being that is posting content online on whichever channel I happen to be on. Why? Because algorithm, right? Content saturation, noise. There's just so many of us, and everybody's a content creator now, right? Everybody's pumping content from personal brands to actual brands to businesses to people to children. Everybody's online and everybody's putting stuff out. So you're competing with all that noise and you're trying to carve a piece of the internet or of the digital world to yourself. So you need to figure out who is it that you want to see what you're putting out there. And then where are they? So marketing in its simplest is right message, right channel, right audience, right time. But then each one of those becomes really complex because who is your right audience? It's not everybody. It's never going to be everybody, right? You really have to niche down when it comes to your target audience. When it comes to messaging, lots of testing, different types of content, different platforms, different everything, you know? Maybe video works, maybe short form, maybe long form, maybe a podcast, maybe it's email, maybe it's social media posts, maybe it's a television commercial. You have to figure out what messages work in what format, and the timing matters. So for me, the people, my ICP are founders of tech startups. They're very engaged on LinkedIn on the weekend. I reach them. I have a better chance of reaching them directly on the weekend than it is during the week. They consume my content during the week, but they talk to me via DM or one-on-one on the weekend. So if I want to reach one of those people, I have a better chance of doing it on the weekend. You got to do the same thing for your brand. You have to understand when is it that your audience is most receptive to your message and most likely to pause, take it in, and do whatever action it is that you want them to do, whether it's just take it in and move on or actually click on something. That's a whole other thing of the customer journey and taking them through all the steps, from awareness to consideration, et cetera. So all of that goes into the bigger picture of, yes, marketing is simple when I break it down to you in right channel, right audience, right time, et cetera. But each piece is where the complexity happens, and each piece requires testing and time and repetition and analyzing and learning and pivoting and doing all these other things. And that's why marketing is not easy. It's simple. It's just really not easy. It takes a lot of knowing what you're doing and a lot of just figuring it out, because there is no one right way. There is no one right answer. There is no magic formula to marketing. And if one exists, I'd like it, please.
How do you work with CEOs that want you to guarantee results? Because you're talking about an environment where there's a lot of different things you can do, a lot of testing you've got to do, especially in the early days. We're talking about startups or young companies. But often a CEO would say, hey, I've got $25,000 for marketing. Can you guarantee I'm going to get this many leads, not only this many leads, this many for inquiries, this many qualified leads, this many sales qualified leads, this many opportunities, and this level of revenue? Can you guarantee that? How do you deal with CEOs who want that level of certainty in their marketing budget?
I don't work with them.
Yeah.
So I used to say, I live and die by ROI, meaning what gets measured, you know, or if you can measure it, you can improve it. And I used to say everything in marketing can be measured. And that is not true. You know, not everything can be measured, which is why you can't make any guarantees. You just don't know how certain things are going to happen. So here's what I can guarantee them: that it's going to take time, that it is going to require some testing, that we will generate leads. I just don't know how many, because I don't know how your audience is going to react, especially if you've never done this before. What I can guarantee is benchmarks, looking at their specific industry, looking at, you know, use cases, looking at best practices, combining all of that. I can say, generally speaking, this is the conversion rate for your industry, or this is how many leads you can generate if you spend XYZ in budget. But all of it really depends on, again, how much are you spending, the size of your audience, right? The channel you're on. Like, advertising on LinkedIn used to be a lot more expensive than, for example, advertising on Facebook. Now, I haven't been a social media manager in a while, so like, I'm sure things have changed in the last 4 years, and I know they have. I'm not in the weeds as much as I used to be. But from what I'm seeing, it's still more expensive on LinkedIn than any other platform to advertise, especially B2B, right? And so a lot of things is, it depends. And so when a CEO says, you know, I want to work with you, but I need some guarantees, I give them two options. You know, let's try it out and see what happens. Or no, thank you, we're not going to work together, because I cannot give you true guarantee. I cannot guarantee you X number of qualified leads. I cannot guarantee you X impressions or X views, or, oh my gosh. And my favorite is, can you make it go viral? I've seen this thing and it got 2 million views. Can you get me 2 million views? No, I can't. I can't. But I can promise you that with repetition, with time, with consistency, your brand will become known. You will get noticed. You will get the results you want. And I always try to share very specific examples of like campaign wins from previous clients or something else that I've done, to show them how I got from you're a startup, you've never done this, to your multi-million in annual recurring revenue, and how I can get you from A to B. And how long it takes, and what are all the different steps that go into it. I can show them that to keep the conversation going. But I don't think there's a single marketer on earth that can guarantee results. And back when I said, I used to say everything is measured, or everything can be measured, and things that can be measured can be improved. That is true. But in marketing, not every single thing can be measured, right? There's a lot of subjective things happening behind the scenes in marketing that you can't always measure, especially when it comes to attribution. You can't always say, you know, I put this piece of content out, it got 100,000 impressions and however many engagements. And then a month later, we got some inbound leads. You know, is it a direct result? It could be, but without asking them and saying, why, how did you hear about us? And them saying it's from this very specific post, it's hard to measure, right? So it's hard to measure or quantify this post and say, this post gave me X number of inbound leads. But you can indirectly attribute it to the content, to the post, because you've seen the impressions, you've seen the engagements. And I always used to say, well, I still say this, stay top of mind always. You know, your buyers or your target audience is not always ready to buy, but when they are, you want them to come to you. And the only reason they're going to come to you is because you stay top of mind. They've seen you time and time again. And so when they finally went, oh my gosh, yes, I'm ready to make this decision, let me think. Oh, it's XYZ company. I've seen their stuff. They're good. Let me reach out.
So
So
the
go.
CEO really needs a CMO that they can trust, that can work through all the detail, all the complexity to make all this happen. And when they're trying to do it themselves, it's hard to make the left brain and the right brain work independently in both those modes. Plus, the other thing that I think happens is the CEO job suffers. If they do the CMO job, then the
Exactly.
strategy, leadership, people building, team development, all of that stuff will really suffer,
Exactly.
which really, you don't, that's the most important job, being the CEO and making that happen.
I mean, you're literally the captain of the ship. You know, you're the pilot. You got to make it fly or float or whatever metaphor you want to use as a CEO. If that's not your only focus, you're risk sinking, you risk crashing, you risk a lot of things. And if you're in growth mode, how are you going to grow if you're not focused on process, leadership, team, you know, all the different functions, the strategy, putting it all together. If you're not focused on that, you're not focused on growth. And if you're not focused on growth, you're not growing. Hence, the whole thing just crumbles.
And one of the things that I've seen too is that if you have that CEO who is the CMO and they don't understand the complexity, I love your analogy of, or your example of thinking about the viral video. And what I see happening sometimes there is they just want to do something, invest in something, and be lucky and have that just take off and make the whole company work instead of doing all the hard work and the complexity. And one of the things I like to say is that luck is not a strategy. So, yes, we could just assume we're just going to be lucky and put out that one post, it's going to be amazing, and that's all going to work. But generally, that doesn't happen. And unless you do all that hard work to stay top of mind, to think about the right personas, to get all the content organized, to make sure the website works, your
Exactly.
chances of success are lower, right?
And they jump around very quickly too. If they're the acting CMO and they're the CEO, they're like you said, they're going to try this. Oh, it's not working. Let me move on. Let me move on. Let me move on. So they never give any one tactic or campaign or strategy a chance to even give them some data to tell them why it is or isn't working. They're just moving very, very quickly. So they're not even doing marketing right. So now they're suffering on both ends. They're not really being a CEO. They're not really being a CMO. Where do you go from there?
So let's be a
So.
little positive in the last part of our conversation and just think about what are the best characteristics of a startup or early stage company CEO that really makes him or her very successful at working with marketing.
Open-minded, strategic, a team player, you know, a player coach is going to be very important. Somebody who can do, who can think, who can coach. And it's not just the characteristics of the CEO, it's really also they need to be able to trust whoever they're bringing in, right? And so they always think about it this way, like the CEOs think of their company as their baby. So, you know, if you have a baby, who are you going to trust to watch it? You know, you're not just going to hire a random babysitter, take them to a random daycare. You're going to do your due diligence and make sure that whoever is coming in to take care of your baby is somebody trustworthy, somebody with proven experience, somebody who has built rapport and credibility with you. And so for a CEO to work well with a CMO, it's a two-way street. They have to build a very trustworthy relationship. They have to communicate openly, but also the CEO needs to let the CMO do their thing. You know, don't box them in. If you've given them a budget, trust them. Trust them to do their job with the budget. You know, I get it. If budgets are tight and you're like, well, this is all we have to work with, that's fine. Don't hire the expert and then tell them how to do market. So, you know, the wonderful CEOs I've worked with are, they're very smart. They're very hardworking. They're very generous with their advice and their time. They're, you know, they're very innovative, and they really know what their skills and strengths are versus their weaknesses. And so when they bring a team on, they're not looking for people that are like them. They're looking for people that can complement their weaknesses. So when you know what you're good at and what you're not good at, you want to hire what you're not good at so that they can take that and off of your plate. They know how to delegate. They know how to be a leader, not, you know, it's you know, leaders sometimes are chosen, not necessarily just throw a title around. And they trust their partners. They trust who they bring on to do whatever it is they brought them on to do. Those are the characteristics of successful CEOs that work very well with CMOs, and their companies, you know, continue to grow and prosper.
Yeah, I think you've said some amazing things there. I love what you talked about in terms of trust, because you have to build that team, but then you have to trust them to do that. And trust isn't, you know, blind trust. It's open communication. It's understanding the key KPIs. It's thinking innovatively, working closely together. But there has to be trust, or else you won't get the best from the marketing team, because marketing is going to embody risks. And if you can't make a mistake as a marketer, you can't do your job, right? So it's got to, you need somebody who's going to be supportive. Well, this has been a really powerful conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time. If people want to reach out to you to learn more about you or your practice, what's the best way for them to learn about you?
LinkedIn, I am very easy to find as Sherry Han Ross. I mean, da 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 dash Sherry Han Ross. I'm very active there. I respond to pretty much every DM, every comment. I publish content every single day. And yeah, if you want to talk to me, please reach out. I also have a website, sherryhanross.com. Again, very Googleable, very easy to find online. So I look forward to meeting more people.
Great. Thanks, Sherahan. I really appreciate the conversation today.
Thanks, David. It was so nice to talk to you. I enjoyed my time here. Thank you.
All right. Enjoy your day.